Man, would you open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 11? Appreciate that special. And it goes right along with the message this morning. Lord, teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11, you find your place. Will you stand with me? It's good to be together today. What a blessing to be able to come together, to have the freedom that we have to do so. And what a joy it is to sing praises to the Lord. And man, I love those songs, Brother Dean. That one is a little high, a little hard to get going on. But man, are you saved today? Amen. I love the song, saved, saved, saved. When you know it, you know it. And you look into the Word of God, a lot of times people are unsure. They don't have assurance of their salvation. I always try to point them to the book of 1 John, where he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And so the Word of God gives us assurance we can know that we're saved. You can be saved. You can know that you're saved. And by the way, you can know that you're saved forever. And that's, man, what a day to rejoice in what God's done for us. Today we want to learn about how to pray. And I want you to notice just this first verse here with me, Luke 11 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace today, we are so blessed to be here and so thankful for the opportunity to gather in freedom. We pray for other churches and brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, the saints, Lord, who are unable to gather in freedom, who are unable to gather to openly and publicly to worship you. We pray that you'll be with them and that you'll bless them, you'll strengthen them, that you'll protect them. Father, I pray in those places where there's so much persecution that you would just help the number of the disciples to multiply, strengthen them, bless them, and protect them. And for those, Lord, who will lose their lives for the cause of Christ, pray that you'll give them grace in their final days, in their final moments. And Lord, help us to always be mindful of them, to always love them, and Lord, to support and help them in any way that we can. And Father, as we come before your throne of grace today, I pray that you would help us. For we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you, Lord. And I pray that you would teach us to pray. Lord, instruct us, guide us in how to pray, and help us to be men and women and boys and girls, not only who fast regularly and consistently, but men and women and boys and girls who pray faithfully and fervently, focused on you and on your kingdom and on your will. Please help, Lord, for we're nothing without you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. I didn't give you a heads up, Dave, but I dropped a couple of pictures in Dropbox a little while ago. And I want to see if you'll have those ready to pull up in a minute. But I'm so excited about prayer. And we've been talking about fasting a lot. And the reason I tried to focus on fasting the last few weeks is because that's not something we're familiar with. Most of us didn't grow up fasting. It's not something that we've done consistently or regularly, at least not on purpose. I was talking to the Sunday school class a few weeks ago about fasting. And have any of you ever fasted on accident? Like you just got too busy and didn't eat? And then later you're like, oh man, I should have dedicated that to the Lord. Like that was a perfect opportunity I wasted. Sometimes we fast on accident, but most of us didn't grow up fasting intentionally for the purpose of drawing closer to the Lord. Fasting is going without food for spiritual purposes, and so we wanted to focus on that because we're not as familiar about that. But I want to get back to really what the heart of it is, because fasting is always coupled together with prayer in Scripture, and when you fast without praying, then you really haven't accomplished anything. Now, it's true that you can pray without fasting, but I'm going to say you can't really have a spiritual fast without praying. Would you agree with that today? And so it's interesting to me that when the disciples saw Jesus pray, it indicates to me that they were with Jesus. He was in a certain place and he was praying. I would like to ask you to note that Jesus prayed. Amen. Jesus prayed regularly. He prayed everywhere. He also had certain places that he went to pray. And we can learn so much about praying just by looking at what Jesus did in prayer. Amen. He would get alone in a solitary place to pray. And he would pray sometimes all night long. And he would pray constantly. He was always in communication with his heavenly Father. And so, but when the disciples saw Jesus pray, they heard Jesus pray. And when he stopped praying one time, he waited till he was finished with his prayer. He goes to him and he says, one of the disciples says, "Lord, teach us to pray." I don't know of anywhere in Scripture where the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to preach," but they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Amen. They saw the prayer life of Jesus, and they said, "We need that." They saw that John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, taught his disciples to pray, and they said, "Lord, we need to learn how to pray. There's power in prayer." Amen. There's a closeness with our Heavenly Father that comes through prayer. There is change that happens not only in our circumstance, but more importantly, there's change that happens in our hearts when we pray. And so we want to get a hold of this business of praying. Would you look real quick at Hebrews chapter 4? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We just sang about the faithfulness of God and how His mercies are new every morning. And we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we can obtain mercy and we can find grace to help in time of need. I want to ask you a question. When are you in need of God's mercy and grace? There's never a moment of your life when you are not in absolute, total, utter need of the grace and mercy of God. Amen. "Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee." We need Him every moment of every day, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace. By the way, I want to remind you this morning, when you pray, you're going to the throne of Almighty God, the terrible, awesome, and powerful God. The God who's the creator of the universe, the God who gives life and who gives death, the God who can take not only your physical life, but He can destroy the soul in hell forever. And we need to understand today the seriousness of coming before God in prayer, and there's a boldness there when you come before Him. I would say that anytime we come before the throne of God, that's a bold thing to do. Amen. It's a bold thing, but we can come boldly because we come covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come because Jesus paid for our sins. We come, we have access to God because His body was torn for us on the cross. It was pictured by the veil being torn in the temple, giving access to the Holy of Holies. And we need to understand this today. To the Jews, coming into the presence of God was something that only the high priest could do one time every year, and only after he made a sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. And then and only then could the high priest go into the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies. If you study that out in the Old Testament, it was one day a year, the Day of Atonement. They could go in one time. And so you got to understand, for the Jewish mind, going into the presence of God in prayer was something that they didn't feel like they had access to. They didn't feel like they could do. That's why Hebrews 4 that we read is such a big deal. It's only because of Jesus, what He did for us when He died on the cross, that gives us access to the presence of God. Now, most of you grew up praying, and most of you grew up praying in the name of Jesus. And sometimes I think that we don't appreciate what a great thing it is to be able to come into the very presence of God in prayer. Amen. And so when they said, "Teach us to pray," you got to get their mindset that they had an understanding in their culture that God was unapproachable. You can't come to God. You remember when Moses was up on the mountain and there were thunderings and lightnings? And the people were very happy to say, "Moses, you go on up there, and we'll stay back here. You go on up there and talk to God, but we're not getting anywhere near the presence of God." And that mindset carried through the ages of God being unapproachable, but listen, our God is approachable. you can draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Do you realize what a blessing it is to be able to come into the very presence of God? And when you pray, you are approaching the throne of Almighty God. It's a really, really big deal. When we pray, we're coming to His throne of grace. I told you the other day, Thomas Watson said, Christ went more readily ad crucem to the cross than we do to the throne of grace. This is Jesus agonizes about what He faced at the cross, but He was ready and He was willing to go to the cross for us. And we are so unwilling to go to the throne of grace. We're so unfaithful to pray. And so we need to learn to pray. So the disciples are asking Him, they're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want you to look at verse 2 with me. Verse 2 says, when ye pray. Would you say those three words with me together? When ye pray. What does that tell you? It tells you that God expects us to pray. We talked about this a few weeks ago with fasting. When ye fast. There's an expectation that the followers of Jesus are people who pray. Jesus said, when ye pray. There's an expectation there that God expects us to pray. And He says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, some of you may notice that's worded a little differently than maybe what you've recited before. How many of you have ever recited the Lord's Prayer, or maybe it'd be better to call it the Model Prayer? Have you ever recited that out loud? Football teams will get together in the locker room and they'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Or there are other groups will get together and say the Lord's Prayer together or the Model Prayer together. There's others. I remember our youth group, we'd get together and sometimes we would recite that Model Prayer together. Now, some people want to make sure to clarify that's not the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord doesn't pray, forgive us of our sins. But it is the prayer that the Lord taught. Amen. Okay. So is Jesus teaching a prayer? Well, not really teaching us a prayer. He's teaching us how to pray. He's not teaching us a prayer to pray. He's teaching us a way to pray. And so it's important that we understand that. So is it wrong to pray this prayer word for word? Of course not. Of course not. But Jesus is teaching us how to pray, not necessarily what to pray. Like repeat these words every day. Just repeat these words. No, it's not about repetition. It's not about these exact words, but it's about our approach to God. And it's about our appropriation of the promises of God. You'll notice in this that Jesus is teaching us how we need to approach our Father in heaven, and He's teaching us how we appropriate the blessings of God. And by the way, you'll notice everything that He tells us to pray for here is just claiming a promise that God has made. Amen. It's claiming a promise that God has already given to us. Teach us to pray. John Bunyan said, when thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. Rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. What's that mean? It means that we always want to come to God, but when we come to God, we want to pray with a right heart. We want our heart to be in our prayer. When Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus has so much to say in the New Testament about praying. I want to share just a few things with you as we get into this model prayer today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There's a few great truths here I just wanted to draw your attention to as we kind of get into this business of praying the way the Lord taught. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. How did the hypocrites pray? Well, the hypocrites prayed to be seen of men. Our goal is not to be seen of men. I know I've told you before, but when I was in seminary, I went to seminary with a few guys, and they got to thinking that we really need to have some boldness when we pray. We'd go out to lunch together, and somebody would stand up, and they would pray with a loud voice, and everyone in the restaurant would turn their attention to our table and really draw attention to themselves. And listen, you shouldn't be ashamed to pray in public. You should not be ashamed to pray in public. But it's not the business of praying in public to get everybody's attention to look at you and say, oh, how spiritual those guys are in their prayers. So we got to have the right balance between not being ashamed, but also not trying to draw attention to ourselves. If the purpose of your prayer is to draw attention to yourself, you've missed the point. Missed the point. We don't want to be like the hypocrites. We also don't want to be like the heathen. We don't want to use vain repetitions. It's my understanding that in the pagan worship, they used a lot of prayer chants. Number one, they're praying to false gods, so that's not going to do any good. But it reminds me of those prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel, and they cried all day long. They cried out, and they would repeat themselves, and they would begin to repeat the same phrases over and over and over and over, and they begin to babble and just make crazy noises with the way that they prayed to their gods. And that babbling and that vain repetition was nothing. Amen. And for their long speaking and for their long making noise, it didn't do them any good. So we don't want to be like the heathen, and we don't want to be like the hypocrites, but we want to pray with a real heart of faith in the Lord. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, wherefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. So when we pray, we don't want to pray with the wrong heart. We want to pray believing. We want to pray with faith. We want to trust in God that he is able. Now I want you to notice back in Matthew 6 and verse 8, when we're not being like the heathen, he says, your Father knows what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now that statement may beg the question for you. That may create one of those scenarios that begs the question. Well, if God already knows what I need before I ask him, then why should I ask him? And I'm going to tell you the same thing that my mama told me. Because he said so. Amen. Did your mama ever say that to you? There's one phrase that my mom said to me more than anything else, I think, when I was growing up. Because I'm the mama and I said so. I always wanted to know why. Do you think it's wrong to want to know why? Why is a good question? Why is a good question? Mama said do this. Why? It's a good question. You know what's a good answer? Because she's the mama and she said so. Maybe in your Christian life as an adult, you have a hard time. You look in the scriptures, it says to do something. You say, why? I don't understand what the reason is. I don't understand the purposes. And sometimes God will reveal to us the reason. Sometimes God will reveal the purposes. And sometimes he just says, because I'm God and I said so. There's a lot of reasons that we can glean out from Scripture about why he wants us to pray, about things like faith. He wants us to trust in him. Amen. To give us the things that we need. He wants us to submit ourselves to him, to yield to him. And by asking him, we're recognizing the fact that he's God and we need him. We're asking him. So there's a matter of faith and there's a matter of yieldedness. There's a lot of good reasons why we should ask, but at the end of the day, we should be satisfied with this. God knows what you need before you ask, but He wants you to ask. Do you not do that with your own children? I don't respond to grunts and points. Never did when they were little. Once they learned how to talk, I expect them to use words. Is everybody with me? Like, did your kids ever do that? Like, they walk into the room, they're plenty big enough to talk, and they just point like, what does that mean? Like, I don't even believe in cavemen, and we're acting like them. Like, what is happening right now? Use words. May I have a cookie, please? It's a good phrase. And who wouldn't want to say that? And who wouldn't want to ask their father for a cookie? Will he for a cookie give them a stone? And if ye being evil know how to give good gifts, then, never mind. Listen, we want to pray with faith. We want to pray with forgiveness. And Jesus taught us how to pray. Not only should we pray for all the good things, I just want to remind you real quick, Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Listen, God is good to everybody that lives on this planet. You know that Brother Kenny prayed well ago, he thanked God for the rain. Did you know that there are atheists in our community? It rained at their house too? Listen, we got to understand that God is good to everybody. His general blessings, they come to everyone, and He does good to everyone. We need to learn to be good to those. Listen, this is so important in our political landscape today. Amen. We're in a society today where our nation is so divided. And listen, on one side, maybe you have some people who have the truth, and maybe they're standing on the truth a little better than another side, but listen, we are to love the people on the other side. Amen. Whatever point of division you want to make, whether it's a political division or an economic division or even a religious division, we don't hate anybody. Amen. We're to love them and pray for them. And you say, well, preacher, you don't understand what they did to me. Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. I would tell you this. The Taliban are going door to door in Afghanistan. They're finding Christians. And many of those Christians will probably be tortured and put to death. But I can tell you from everything I've ever read in history, the grace that God gives in that time is amazing. And I'm going to tell you, there have been millions. Since Jesus came, there have been millions of martyrs who have died praying for the people who were murdering them. Amen. Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, when they were stoning him to death, he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. And through the ages, martyrs have prayed for those who were persecuting them. This is it. And what do? We see somebody, we get a little sideways with at work, or some of you kind of get head-to-head with somebody on social media. Instead of being angry with somebody, we need to learn to pray for others. I'm not saying back up on the truth. We stand on the truth. We speak the truth, but we do so in love. I think this is so vital for us to get because so many times, I think that we're in part of the mess we're in today because Christians for decades couldn't stand up and say the truth in love, so they didn't say the truth at all. Christians in America have not stood up for the truth because they don't know how to stand up and say the truth without being hateful. But you know that's possible because it's a grace of God. But you can't do that if you're in the flesh. You can only do that if you're walking in the Spirit. And so we've neglected to love. We've neglected to speak the truth. We've neglected to stand up for what's right. And now we've got a generation that's coming up. I'm going to tell you right now, there are some Christians who are standing up for what's right. There are some Christians in America standing up for truth. But I want to warn you, because many of them are going too far and they're not speaking the truth in love. They're standing for what's right, but they're doing it with hate in their heart. They're doing it with anger and with malice and with venom. And friends, that's not a good place to be. We've gone too far. We're in the other ditch now. And it's not an easy thing to maintain that balance, but it's only by the grace of God through prayer that we're going to be able to do that. And so we got to pray. We don't just pray that, pray for little Tommy that his tummy gets better, and pray for brother so-and-so that they get healed, and pray for this family who lost a loved one. We pray for a lot of different things, but we ought to pray for those who are our enemies. Let me give you another prayer request. Matthew 9, 36. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you believe that there are a lot of people in Muldrow, Oklahoma, who need Jesus? Do you believe there are a lot of people in Sequoia County who need Jesus? Do you believe the state of Oklahoma is filled with people, hundreds of thousands of people who need Jesus? The United States of America, 330 million people, I can assure you the majority of those people need Jesus. There are almost 8 billion people on the planet. Almost 8 billion people on the planet. And the majority of them are on the broad path that leads to destruction. And they need Jesus. We have no lack of a harvest. We lack desperately in laborers. And God has called every one of us to labor together with Christ. I wonder what it's going to take us. What is it going to take for us to be men and women and boys and girls who pray? There's lots of different ways that we pray. Somebody once said, when our children were small and we were teaching them to pray, we had three kinds of prayer. Please prayers, thank you prayers, and sorry prayers. Kind of like that. Please prayers, thank you prayers, and sorry prayers. We need to teach our children to pray. But like everything else in our Christian life, praying is better caught than taught. The disciples learned to pray. Jesus taught them, but they saw him pray. They heard him pray, and they learned how to pray. And then he taught them to pray, but it was taught and caught from watching him. And we need to have that in our lives today. So we go back to our text. And just real quickly, I want to talk to you about our approach to God. Our approach to God. Our Father, which art in heaven. Romans chapter 8, 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, you can come to God and understand that he is your Father. We are adopted into the family of God. We're born again into the family of God. And we can come to him and we can cry, Abba, Papa. When your children are very small, some of the first words they learn to say are Mama and Dada. Amen. And in every culture around the world, it's that way. It's Abba, Ima. It's Papa, Daddy. And when we are born again as children of God, when we come to God, we can come to him as our Abba, Papa, Daddy. Amen. There's a familiarity there. There's a closeness there. There's an intimacy there that you can come to him. You can crawl up on his heavenly lap. You can come right before him. You come right to his feet. He is your heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven. But then I want you to notice next he says, hallowed or holy be thy name. Now, this phrase doesn't literally mean it's the way it's worded. It might mess us up in our thinking. This isn't saying that we're going to make his name holy. His name is holy. This is a recognition of the fact. This is saying holy is your name. So at the same time we come to him as Abba Father, we have to keep that balanced out with this. He is the holy, holy, holy God. Amen. And so our Abba, our Papa, our Heavenly Father is the holy, holy, holy God, worshipped by angels forever and ever. And we come before him with that balance. Our approach to him has got to be with the right balance of closeness and reverence. Closeness and reverence. But then I want you to notice the appropriation of our prayers. He says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Every one of these prayers that Jesus teaches us to pray, they have a purpose, they have a meaning, they have a value. But listen, they're not something new. These are all biblical principles, and they're all promises that he's already made. When we pray, we're just praying for God to remember. And if you'll study your Bible, you'll see it all the time. We saw it with Daniel. Daniel said, God, remember the promises that you made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see it all the time. Moses, when he fell on God's face, he said, God, remember your covenant. Remember your promises. David prayed, and when he prayed, he asked God to remember his promises. And really, when we pray, that's what we're doing. We're saying, God, remember what you said. Do what you said you would do. We pray for his kingdom to come. The word kingdom has the idea of the rule and reign. And certainly God rules and reigns over all the universe. Let's try that one more time. Certainly God rules and reigns over all the universe. Amen. But what we're saying is, God, we want your kingdom to come down to this sin-cursed world. We want your kingdom to come down to where Satan is the prince or the god of this world. God, we want your kingdom to come here. Well, how does that happen? I'll tell you what I believe. The key to the kingdom coming. The key is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where does Jesus rule and reign on the earth right now? He rules and reigns in the heart of every person who trusts in him. He rules and reigns in every congregation, in every assembly of people where he dwells in their hearts. Do you see it? As we are disciples who are making disciples, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is propagating, the kingdom is spreading, and it happens through the gospel of Jesus Christ. At least to some degree, part of what we're praying when we pray for his kingdom to come is for people to be saved and to follow him. Now certainly we're also praying for his kingdom to literally come and be established on the earth. But his kingdom is moving forward right now. Did he not say that his kingdom is in you? His kingdom is in you. And so we want the kingdom to propagate through the gospel. He says, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So many times when we pray, we treat God like the McDonald's drive-thru. We just pull up and tell him what we want, go to the next window, and if it's not there in 30 seconds, we're mad about it. God is not a drive-thru window. He's the God of the universe. And praying is not about you getting your will done in heaven. It's about getting heaven's will done on earth. It's about aligning ourselves with God's will. We're praying for his will to be done. God, we want your will to be done here as it is in heaven. Listen, when Satan rebelled and took a bunch of demons with him, what's left, there was a final decision. The angel's decision to follow God or not happened a long time ago, and it's established, it's done, it's settled. That's what I believe. That's my understanding. That's what I believe about that. And listen, when God says something in heaven, it happens. There's no rebellion against it. There's no second guessing it. When God says it, it's done. Amen. And we want that to happen on earth. That's what we're praying. God, we want your will to be done. And I don't know if you've looked at the news lately, but God's will is not going on everywhere in the world today. Amen. Now, his pervasive will over everything is going to be accomplished. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of people are rebelling against the will of God. We want to pray that His will would be done. And then we say, give us day by day our daily bread. Daily means substance, subsistence. Daily means what's needful to us. We're saying, God, please give us what we need. We're looking to You to provide our needs. And then we're praying for forgiveness. We got to remember, every time, it seems like so many times, not every time, but so many times when Jesus preaches and teaches about prayer, He talks about forgiveness. I think it's so hard for us to forgive others. Anybody ever struggle with that? It's hard to forgive others. But let me ask you a question. Do you recognize that? Do you have a desire to get to a place where you can forgive? I've counseled with so many people who say, I just can't forgive them. I feel bad about it. I try to. I ask God to help me. Listen, if you're asking God to help you forgive, you're in a good place. Because the truth is, you don't have the strength to do it. You just have to have that desire to be obedient. God will give you the grace. Forgiveness, that's a tricky thing. I've noticed that a lot of times people don't have so much trouble forgiving somebody else for what they've done, what's happened to them. Like, if you do me wrong, I can forgive you fairly easily. But if you do something wrong to somebody I love, that's harder. Anybody else feel that way? Like, if you do me wrong, I could probably get over it. But if you do somebody in my family wrong, then I'm going to have a little hard time with that. But what we got to get to a place is that we're, listen, forgiveness is about giving that up to God. I'm giving up my, what I perceive to be my right for retribution. I'm saying I'm not going to avenge myself. I'm going to leave that to God. When I forgive, I'm not saying what they did is okay. I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be punished according to God, but I'm saying that I'm not going to try to punish anybody. I'm not going to try to exact revenge. I'm not going to look for retribution. I'm giving that up to God. That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness. I'm not holding it against them anymore. I'm going to give it up to God. That's hard to do. You know what else I think is hard, by the way, just talking about forgiveness? I think people have a hard time forgiving themselves. I think we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. The reason we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, I think, is because we don't really believe that God's forgiven us. Either God's word is true and He forgives those who confess their faults before Him, or it's not true. And it's true. He forgives. And then He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God will allow us to be tried, tested, but God's purposes are never to cause you to sin. They're to cause you to trust in Him to overcome sin. Let me think for a second, things in your life that have brought you to a place of prayer. Brother Dave, did you find those pictures? I want to share with you that there are times in your life that will bring you to a place of very serious prayer. I found myself in a place like that yesterday. Can you show the first one? I don't know if you could see that picture very well, but I'm looking up at the sky yesterday because I was getting ready to go skydiving. I want to tell you that I spent a lot of time in prayer yesterday. Now, I asked Melissa if she prayed really hard for me yesterday, and you can ask her later what she said. When I texted Ben when I got back on the ground and I said I didn't die, and he said that Melissa was going to have to try harder. But a lot of you thought, some of you already saw some of the pictures, but I bring this up because when you're faced with life or death, prayer gets real serious. When things get real. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I joke about it a little bit. I did obviously pray. Because I really didn't want to die. But I didn't pray any harder yesterday about the situation than any other day. Why? Because God's in control. You see, prayer is about an acceptance, an acknowledgement that God is sovereign. He's in control. Can you show the next picture? At that moment, there was some real praying going on, though. Like, intense prayer. Can you see the picture? That's 10,000 feet, people. There's the airport right there. Who wants to go with me? All right. See those hands. Y'all pray for those people. They're crazy. No, I just wanted to show those pictures. It was super fun. That was a bucket list. You can take that picture off. That's enough of that. Listen, that was one of my things I'd always dreamed to do. I want to tell you honestly, one of the most amazing experiences of my life, just seeing God's creation like I'd never seen it before. And I did do some praying because I really didn't want to die. Like, please let the parachute open, let everything go well. But also there was a lot of praying of praise. It was just an awesome experience, awesome way to see God's creation, experience in a way I never had before, do something I'd always dreamed to do. Let me give you this real quick, and I'm gonna stop. If you're taking notes, will you write down the letters P-R-A-Y? P-R-A-Y. Does anybody know what that spells? P-R-A-Y. Good job, guys. I was waiting for one of these guys back here to say it. Never did. P stands for praise. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and his presence with praise. Praise. R stands for repentance. We always have things that we need to repent of. Every day we need to turn away from our sin and turn to God. A stands for asking. I think it's good for us to start with repentance and then go to the asking. Asking. Y stands for yielding. Y stands for yielding. Because at the end of the day, we want his will to be done and not our own. We pray with praise. We come before him with thanksgiving. We ask him to forgive us. We recognize our sins. We ask God to help in all the needs that we have. And then we yield to him and say, God, your will be done. Our nation's in great need of prayer right now. There are people around us in great need of healing. There are people around us in great need of comfort and understanding. Some of you today are in great need of comfort and understanding. Things are happening in your life you don't understand, and it's hard to cope with. That's why you have to learn to yield. Jesus taught us by his example when he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. We have to learn to pray that way. If you'll stand with me, please. As our musicians come, the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. Maybe you got some burdens, some things going on in your life that you need to look to God for. We need him every hour. And if he's convicting your heart, would you come while we sing?
Page 5.